time to sit back, relax, and enjoy. This is what you saved your lunch money for. Your field to the green.
Welcome to episode 163 of Passing Points Podcast, presented by Same Day Auto Repair. I'm your host, Michael Tyree. Got my co-hosts, Travis Ashwood and Lane Goodman here. We also got producer Scotty back on the boards here, trying to teach him how to do this, but he's you'll get there, right, Scotty?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, hey, we just got pushing buttons, man. It's cool.
At least they light up.
They do light up. I know what buttons are off and what buttons are on.
There you go.
No, you didn't. That was the problem.
That's the whole thing.
Anyway.
Well, hey, so we got a fun episode here. We're going to kick things off. We are talking to Chase Rodman this week for our Speed Stick Shocks interview. And Chase has recently made the move into the press booth, so to speak, doing the play-by-play announcing for High Limit Racing. Chase, man, we appreciate you taking the time to come on the show.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks for picking me. I'm just a regular dude, so thanks for having me on the podcast here. Excited to talk a little racing here for a little bit.
Well, I can promise you fit right in. We're just a couple of regular dudes here trying to, you know, live out what we love. Man, it's been exciting listening to you on the mic. I personally feel like you've made a really good, smooth transition pretty quick. And I know I'm sure there's a lot of things that you're probably critiquing yourself on. But how's it been so far on the mic up in the booth?
It definitely hasn't felt smooth. There's so much more going on compared to what I used to be doing. At one point in time, I'm listening to Tony LaPorta do a pit report while at the same time in my other ear, I got the producer in the flow truck telling me something. And then at the same time as that, Mike Hess is yelling at me from across the press box, trying to tell me something there, you know? So, it's a lot to keep track of throughout the night. And that's something that I'm still trying to get used to, trying to make sure I have everything organized. Like this last week, I went to go read one of our sponsor reads, and I lost my paper in the middle of it and couldn't find it. You know, just things like that got to be a little more prepared, a little more organized to do the job right. But, you know, I think on Saturday was the best night that I've overall, like, put together, like, got everything in there, all the sponsors, everything that was needed to be said was said. And so, I don't know, I'm feeling good. Unfortunately, now we have to take a month off, so I'll probably forget everything. But, you know, I felt pretty decent on Saturday. So I still got a long ways to go, but we're getting there.
Do you remember who the sponsor was?
Oh yeah, it was TJ Ford's Wheels. Yeah. Right. So unfortunately, he lost that paper. I did find it later though, so I did get to read it.
Well, so, hey, they just got a bonus.
I figured all 20 of our listeners would be all excited about that.
Hey, that's 20 times two, bud. So you mentioned there with all the stuff going on in your ear and kind of behind the scenes. I'm actually surprised to hear that. I mean, I shouldn't be because I know what the production and is trying to put on a professional production, the High Limit and everything like that. But you know, that's like, to me, that's kind of big network stuff. You know, thinking NASCAR, you know, I listen to Dale Jr. Download and he talks about that type of stuff and struggles like that. But that's pretty interesting at this level of racing, to have that much going on. How hard is it to maintain your thought process or even that you're saying something on the mic as they're trying to introduce either a new thought to you or grab your attention elsewhere?
Yeah, it's definitely tough. And that's what I kind of told them at the beginning was like, you know, I am not very good if I'm talking and I'm like, you know, saying something and then they try and come over the radio or whatever and say, hey, after this, we're going down to Tony or after this, you know, we got a piece on, you know, why Brad Sweet and Kyle Larson started High Limit. You know, if I'm in the middle of talking and they say that, man, I either stop talking or I just don't even listen to what they said. And that screws me later on. So it's definitely hard. And I hope that I'll, you know, adjust to it a little bit more. I told them, you know, try to avoid doing that as much as I can or as much as they can, you know, try not to talk to me while I'm in the middle of talking.
Yeah.
You know, give me that message while we're in commercial or while Tony's talking or, you know, when I'm not talking, when they're, you know, because I don't really talk during hot laps, for example, you know, so if they want to tell me something while the cars are green, then that's the way to do it. But I know that sometimes things they have to say while I'm talking because they happen on the fly, you know? So, but yeah, that's been the craziest part, I would say, so far. It's just so much is going on at the same time. And I was with you. I didn't realize there was that much to worry about. You know, it's not even just one person now in the truck. Sometimes there's like three different people that can talk. I got the sound guy, I got the producer, and then there's somebody else down. I don't even know that can talk to me too. So, yeah, it can be a lot. And then, you know, trying to also relay between Mike Hess, you know, he's the one that kind of controls the show. You know, he's like, okay, we're going on the horn here. You know, we're going to take a little bit of a break, blah, blah, blah. I have to take what he's telling me and tell the people down in the trailer so they know how many commercials to run, when to come back from commercial, all that kind of stuff. And it's a lot. So, but you know, four races in, we still got a long ways to go, and I'm sure it won't take too long to get into a pretty good rhythm.
Something I've been pretty interested to kind of learn more about the last few years, really, as racing has gotten so predominantly streamed and a lot of things we can watch. It's a struggle for some lower series. You know, I'm watching what's on the TV and the announcer is announcing a race that's not on the TV. How much goes into you guys announcing what's actually being broadcasted on Flow? Are you having to announce off of a TV screen? Or are you watching the race live and they're just telling you what to announce? Or how does that work?
So I personally, I watch the actual race on the track. They do have a screen for me, like right in front of me. That's kind of smaller. That is what they're showing, to everybody at home on Flow. But I like to watch the track a little bit better or a little bit more. But then, you know, every now and again, probably, maybe once a lap or once every two laps, I'll look down and see what they're showing. If it's not what I'm talking about, they try their best to follow with what I'm saying. And then if, you know, if nothing's going on with what I'm talking about, they'll try and find the next best battle and then I'll look down and talk about it. Or if I get, you know, if there's something going on and I'm kind of going on about it for a little bit too long, the producer will say like real quick, hey, you got a battle for fifth, you know, and that's what's on the screen. I'm like, okay, oh, we got a battle right here with, you know, Rico and whoever. So most of the time I'm watching the track, I just can't announce off the TV screen very well. Mm-hmm. I like to actually watch what's going on out there and then kind of, you know, every now and again, look down at the screen. And, if it's not what I'm talking about, then I'll, you know, add that into the call a little bit too.
Kind of piggybacking off that, I've wondered how much, you know, like the film crew and the videographers, how much did they pay attention to the sport so they can learn these names? And do they have a live feed of what you're announcing? And do they kind of study the drivers and the numbers and stuff so they can pick up on what you're saying as well?
Well, I tell you that the guys that were there this weekend, I mean, they're two of the best. Maybe, I mean, I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if they one day were in the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame for all that they've done as far as videographers. Dean Mills and Jeff Converse were the two guys. And there might have been a third one this last weekend at Golden Isles. But they know sprint car racing. Jeff Converse has followed the All-Stars for like 15 or 20 years. And Dean Mills, he does the Outlaws. He does High Limit. He does USAC. Those two guys, they know racing very, very well. They know the players. They know everything that's going on. So, yeah, they also have a feed to what I'm saying. And then they're also getting a feed from the trailer like I am, that's telling them what to look out for too. So, but what's good about Dean and Jeff, they just know what to look for. If there's a, you know, if the leader is checked out by 10 car lengths, they're not going to be following the leader. Well, maybe one of them is, and the other guy is looking for the next best battle. You know, so they know exactly what to look for. They're professionals. They've been doing it for, you know, over 20 years. So there hasn't been many times that I've noticed where a camera guy doesn't really know racing. I mean, I've definitely been a part of a couple broadcasts where it's like their first ever race. And so that makes it tough. And the producer really has to do a lot more work. But for the most part, I'd say it's guys that they know racing. They've been doing it for a long time.
I'm curious, we've kind of talked about some of the struggles and some of the things that you have to, you know, kind of learn to deal with and change to. But has there been anything that maybe surprised you that was simpler than you thought or was an easier transition for you, any aspect of the job so far?
Man, honestly, I feel like most everything has been a little bit harder, to be quite honest. It's I'm trying to think. The one thing that I struggle with the most, I would say, at this point is, you know, is just keeping my voice around for the whole night. And I've always kind of struggled with that a little bit because, you know, I'm not like Blake Anderson or Johnny Gibson or Tony Bakhoven, and those guys announce, you know, 50 races a year, 60 years. I mean, some of them more than that, you know, 80, 90 races a year. I, in the last probably 5 years, I've only announced maybe 3 or 4 races every year. And so I haven't really had my, you know, it's like your vocal cords are like a muscle, right? They get trained. Like if you work them out in the gym, like your, you know, your arms or whatever, you work them out in the gym, they're going to get stronger. The more you talk with your voice, you know, the stronger my vocal cords will eventually get. But like right now, I'm struggling to be able to keep my voice all night long. So I'm absolutely down in water bottles, man. The first night at East Bay, I looked down at the end of the night, I had like 9 water bottles underneath the chair I was sitting in, you know? So that's something that I need to work on a lot. You know, but I think by the time, you know, halfway through the season gets around, hopefully it'll be a little bit better. Get more used to it, get used to talking more. But as far as other stuff goes, I guess really just the main thing is just trying to keep up with everything, right? Trying to have the timing screen right, trying to get your notes dialed in, trying to listen to everything that's going on as far as the producer and Mike Hess and all those guys that are talking to you. It's just so much going on at once, and that's something that I'm not the best multitasker, so that's something that I am definitely struggling with still right now.
I think I've heard like that singers, they use honey or something before. Is that right?
Yeah, it's like honey and tea. They'll drink or like before a performance or something like that. It helps lubricate the vocal cords.
Yeah, I've read a lot of stuff. You know, before the first race, I was on Google typing in all kinds of things to try and figure out what the best remedy is to try and keep your voice around. And honey's definitely at the top. You know, middle of the race at East Bay, I ran downstairs to the snack bar when the modifieds were out there, and I actually got some water and some salt and gargled. I found a microwave and like gargled hot salt water because I read that on Google and tried to help myself out there. So, yeah, I've actually like on race day and like the day before race day, I actually like changed what I eat and drink. Like I don't like drink any soda, any like no alcohol. Try not to drink like cold drinks. Like if I drink a water, it's like room temperature. Like just trying everything I can to, you know, preserve the vocal cords. Don't eat like fried chicken, eat grilled chicken instead. Eat, you know, bananas and apples and stuff with a lot of water in them. So, it's definitely a big adjustment, but I'm trying to be the best that I can. And, it's hard to do that when your voice goes out. So I'm trying to, you know, preserve it as best I can.
Has there been anything so far that maybe you miss about the old position or any aspect of that, the evening at the racetrack that you missed that you used to do?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been doing this quite long enough, I feel like, to really have a good answer for that, but it's definitely going to not be as fun. Now, I always love the work area. You know, I love being down in the work area when those guys are fixing stuff and the chaos that is involved with the work area. So I would say that's going to be something that I miss quite a bit. But what I'm not going to miss, I'll tell you, is when it's cold or when it's hot and you're stuck outside. You know, every booth I've been in so far has an AC or a heater or something, you know, to keep the temperature nice. That was one thing I hated as the pit reporter was when it was cold outside. So not going to miss that, but definitely going to miss the work area and covering that. That was one of my favorite things about the job. And, you know, I'd say the other favorite thing was probably doing Victory Lane. I like talking to the top three guys after, but if I had to put one thing on, it's definitely going to be missing the work area and all the guys down there because, it was kind of like a little, a separate family down there in the work area when things got crazy.
In addition to, announcing and doing the play by play on the races, is there any like, special projects or special interviews that you're going to be able to, do as well that might be airing on Flow Racing or things like that for the High Limit Racing Series?
You know, I'm not really sure yet. I think that's maybe something in the future. Like, you know, I like doing the off days that we did at the revision with the drivers. I would like to do something like that again, but I don't know if that's something that maybe Tony LaForta will do or if that's me or, you know, I'm not really sure yet. We've definitely talked about it. But I kind of think that maybe that's more of a position for Tony to do because he's going to be talking to the drivers on the track a whole lot more than I am. And you're going to be seeing him, like actually seeing him way more than me. So I don't know. I want to do some extracurricular stuff like that to, you know, give out more content. But, you know, the Flow guys, they actually contacted me at, or, you know, they were at East Bay and came up to me and were talking to me about my YouTube channel that I started up, and they were wanting to maybe implement some of those videos into the broadcast, to add more content or whatever. So I don't know. I want to. I think there's definitely, they have the production crew and everything to make it happen. It's just, trying to make it all happen and put a plan together to do something like that. But I would certainly like to do off-day style videos again with the drivers.
You mentioned Tony Laporta there. How's it been working with him so far?
Yeah, it's been great. I've been employed by the same, person for the last 3 years now with him. Obviously we were with the Outlaws together, and traveled. We didn't travel up and down the road together. There was two separate convoys and he was with the other one, but obviously we're at the track together all the time. And, he's one of the funniest guys I've ever met. And so far, I feel like he's kind of shown that on the broadcast. He's been having some good one-liners and doing some funny stuff throughout to try and keep it interesting, So he's definitely fun to work with. He is a professional. He knows how to bring excitement and humor to the broadcast, which is something that I think these broadcasts need. And that was kind of, I felt like my role a little bit there. When it came to Dirt Vision, Johnny was very, very serious about his job and kept it very, straight down the straight and narrow. And I kind of went off that on the beaten path a little bit sometimes and brought some humor to it. And I think that's what Tony's able to do. He's done that very well. He asks really good questions to the drivers and has some good conversations with them too. So I know how bad, I put a really good word in for him to get that position because I know how bad that he wanted to get back into the racing scene and get back on the microphone mm-hmm. after what happened with him at USAC and everything. Yep. And he definitely deserved to come back. And so he's out there proving himself that he deserved to come back. He's putting in the work, the hours and the time to prove that he belongs where he's at right now.
So backing up a few months here, I'm really curious and willing to, if you can go into as much detail as you feel like you can. But really curious if we can dive into kind of the thought process and what went into everything as far as making the change from the World of Outlaws over to High Limit. And then also, had you had aspirations to be a play-by-play announcer? Was this a new goal? Is this something you've been working towards?
Can we go even further back and talk about how the transition went from being a Red Bluff announcer to what he's doing now went? Or
well, we can, yeah. I always like to go back.
That's even further, though.
Well, yeah, but yeah. I guess I'm working my way backwards.
We like
backwards.
To get to the roots on this podcast. What are you talking about? Well, hey, we do this with every one of our driver guests.
We do.
Why can't we get to the roots with the announcers too?
I plan to, but I'm working backwards.
Like, oh, come on, man, step it up.
Jumping the gun a little bit, but yeah.
But no, that plays into it. I didn't know that you were previously an announcer as well. So
that's kind of the reason I threw that out there too. Yeah, I didn't know if you knew that or not.
I did not, but that kind of plays into, maybe there were some aspirations, but definitely interested in how it all went down and what went into your thought process on this.
Yeah. I was fully planning on doing the Outlaw Tour again this year around, what was it? Probably October or whatever. I had heard the rumors. I think everybody had heard the rumors that, High Limit was going to be going, on the national tour 60 race schedule. And, I knew that the announcers they had at the time with Dylan Welch and Tony Bakhoven and Chris Wilner, I knew that those guys all had other commitments, that Wilner and Welch, they do a lot of NASCAR stuff that, probably pays a lot better than the dirt racing stuff. And I know that Tony Bakhoven is, running for mayor of Knoxville and he's got a lot going on there too. So I knew that they were going to be looking for somebody. And at Port Royal it was a little bit before that. I had texted Kyle Larson a little bit and I just sent him a text and I said, the text actually read, we got them racked and stacked next year, ? Because that's my little saying before they go green. We got them racked and stacked and we got the grandstands packed. And Kyle knows that because of the Red Bluff stuff. And so I just sent him that. It was kind of a joke really at first. And he said something back like, oh, I thought you were Outlaws for life or something. And I was like, if the right opportunity comes about, I definitely would be interested in something like that. I wouldn't want to make a lateral move. I wouldn't want to go from pit reporter for the Outlaws to pit reporter for high limit. It would have to be an announcer position. And he's like, all right, yeah, I'll get a hold of Brad or whatever, right? So then, like, probably, I don't know, maybe like a month later or 2 weeks later, I can't remember the exact timeline, but we were at Port Royal for the Outlaw show, and he was there for one of the nights. I think it was just the first night. And I, you know, he was looking at the track or something. I just walk up to him and I said, hey, did you ever send that text to Brad? And he's like, oh yeah, I sent it to him. He's thinking about it or whatever, you know, and he knows that you're interested, blah, blah. And so I was like, okay, whatever. And that was it. Like, I hadn't, like, after that, I didn't talk to anybody, didn't hear from anybody, you know, went to World Finals, and obviously World Racing Group is located there in Charlotte, and went into their office and, you know, made the deal to, you know, come back again next year. And, you know, that was the plan, was for me to be the pit reporter for the Outlaws again. And I was totally cool with it. You know, I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't messaging Kyle every other day or Brad and calling him. I just, that was it from Port Royal. So, whatever, you know, I made the deal, we're going to do the Outlaws again. So then the day after my birthday, so it would be the November 23rd. So this, I mean, what, World Finals was the 7th or 8th of November. So another 2 weeks later, Mike Hess called me out of nowhere. And obviously he'd been gone from the Outlaws for a while because of everything that happened there. And I was like, man, what the hell is Mike Hess calling me for? And so then actually, this is actually the day after Thanksgiving. So my birthday is really close to Thanksgiving, but he called me and was like, you know, hey, you know, what are you doing next year? And I was like, well, I'm doing the same thing. Well, he's like, well, you know, Brad and, you know, Kyle have been talking a little bit here, and they're thinking about, you know, maybe if you would want to be the announcer for High Limit. And I was like, you're joking, right? Like, that's a joke. And he's like, no. And I was like, well, I talked to Kyle like 2 months ago, or, you know, a month ago, and I haven't heard anything back. And he's like, well, yeah, they've been talking to some guys, and, you know, a couple of, you know, things fell through, like Blake Anderson, everybody thought that he was going to go High Limit, and he decided to do something different. And, you know, the other couple guys weren't available. They had other things going on. And so I'll tell you guys, man, I was like the fourth string running back, man, for the High Limit announcer position. You know, there was like three guys ahead of me on the list, and they all, you know, it defaulted to me, you know. And I will fully admit that I was definitely not the number one draft pick, but that's fine. So, you know, he's talking to me, and I'm like, well, you know, I definitely have to think about it. You know, I'm in a good position, I felt like, with the Outlaws. And I like what I'm doing. I just got to make sure I'm making the right decision. So he's like, well, we need an answer by, you know, Saturday. And I want to say it was like Monday when he called me, or maybe I got a week or something to make a decision, because it was the week before PRI or something like that was how it worked out. And so he needed an answer by PRI. And I was like, oh my God. So for the next like week, I probably made like 30 calls a day to like the same like 8 people in my contacts, trying to make sure that I'm making the right decision. And obviously I'm calling, you know, the guys at Dirt Vision and telling them what's going on. And, you know, here's the situation, blah, blah, blah. And lots of deals were going down and lots of offers were flying around, all this stuff. And I finally realized, you know, that I've always wanted to be an announcer, and this was the prime opportunity. If I didn't take it now, I probably was never going to get that position again. It wasn't going to come available. And I knew that Johnny Gibson was not going to go anywhere. He's, in my opinion, the best or the second best announcer of all time. He is not going anywhere. And I would not want to be the guy to follow in his footsteps. Whoever is the guy that comes in after Johnny, I feel bad for him to have to try and fill those shoes. So I figured this was the best decision. And so I called him and told him it was a done deal. And like, that was like 2 days before PRI. So, yeah. And then that was it. So, pretty crazy, man, because I'm not kidding you. I probably called those 2 weeks or whatever it was that week, I probably called like 120 different times to my dad and my mom and, you know, my girlfriend and some of my close friends and all that. Mike Hess called him 30 times. So there was definitely a lot that went into the decision. And, you know, I saw a lot of people on Facebook and whatever, and, you know, YouTube comments on the Chaz, you know, everybody saying that, you know, I did it all for the money and this and that. And that's just not true, man. I could have stayed with the Outlaws and made more money to do way less and just be a pit reporter, you know, but I took it for the opportunity, you know, so to be an announcer. So that's there was a lot that went into it, man. It was definitely not an easy decision, but it's one that now I think back on and I'm like, man, I'm sure glad I did that.
Well, I know Lane mentioned Red Bluff there, but yeah, we're definitely interested in, you know, going further back. Whenever we get somebody on the show, we really like to kind of dive into how they got their start in racing. You know, if there's any family ties to racing that got you into it, and then kind of, you know, what your career path looked like that led you to where you're at now. So, I mean, where does racing start for you?
Yeah, my dad was pretty good back in the day racing. He wasn't a dirt guy though. He was a pavement late model guy. So, in 2001, he won the NASCAR Southwest Tour Series, which was at the time, that was the step right below the truck series back then. He won the championship in 2001. My uncle won it in 1998. And so when I was a kid, I was always at the pavement track, right? I was always going, to those races. And I never raced because my dad always raced. So I didn't race until I was probably about 12, maybe, or 11, maybe 11 or 12. And the first time I ever raced was on dirt, and that was at Red Bluff. And so I got a box stock car, and, you know, at the time I was, you know, I'm tall right now, but for being 12 or 11, I was like the tallest kid in the class, and honestly, like the oldest kid in the class at the time, because I'd never raced anything. And I was pretty like overweight compared to the rest of them. And so I ran the box stock for like 2 years, never won. There was a couple of times where I got close. There's actually 2 weeks in a row where I was leading the race and I spun out all by myself. It was like the worst days of my life. But anyway, I ran that for a couple of years, and then I ran a 250 the next class up. And at the time, it was pretty competitive. I was racing against Logan Seavey and Tyler Seavey, and the last year that Rico was there, I ran against him, and Tanner Thorson was there, and a bunch of guys. It was a really competitive field back then. Never won a race there. I ran on the podium a few times. I started on the pole of the feature, couldn't win. And then realized, you know, I needed to sell my go-kart to get a regular car to drive to school and stuff. So sold my go-kart and I got a car. And so then I was still going to the races, doing like updates, like Twitter updates for the track and whatnot. And, you know, the promoter, he knew me pretty well just from when I raced, and he knew I was doing updates and stuff like that. And one weekend, the announcer was, he had his bachelor party, and the next weekend he was getting married. So 2 weeks in a row, they needed an announcer. And so the promoter asked me if I wanted to get up there. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll give it a try, whatever. And at the time, it was actually the same year that Kyler Shaw and Fast 4 Media got going and was doing, you know, highlight reels from Red Bluff. And so I got on there, and I'm probably one of the very few announcers that actually can go back and watch his first ever race that he announced, because it's like on YouTube. And it was horrible. But anyway, Kyler Shaw, you know, afterwards I did the two races, and you know, he's like, hey, you know, you're not bad at this. You know, we should go do some more races. You wanna, you know, come with me to, all these micro races and these big go-kart races. I'm like, oh yeah, sure, whatever. I'm in college at the time, right? So I got a lot going on. But anyway, that year, I want to say it was 2014, maybe, we went to Montana, Idaho, Washington State, Oregon, Arizona, all over the place to these micro races and these outlaw car races. And I started doing it more and more. And like I said, I was in college and working full time. I was a forklift operator at a Walmart distribution center, and, you know, all kinds of stuff was going on in my life at that time. And so then, you know, I kept doing it. And then eventually I was like, man, I want to do some sprint car stuff. So Loud Pedal TV, Tim Truex at the time, you know, gave me a shot to go do some USAC CRA stuff during California Sprint Week. Did a couple of those races, did a couple of NARC races. I actually announced Buddy Kofoid's first ever 410 win, Gio's first ever 410 win, a couple other guys. And then for a long time, I was just kind of, you know, doing that. I did the USAC stuff for a while, did the outlaw kart stuff. And really that's kind of how my career as an announcer started. I had no aspirations to do it until it just kind of fell into my lap, really.
So, but prior to it falling in your lap, was there a plan to go back to racing? I know you said you had to sell your cart to get a street car. What did racing look like? You know, what did your future look like at that point in life, where, you know, for racing in general?
Yeah, I mean, I knew I wasn't very good. So, and that was, and there well,
that doesn't stop some of us.
Yeah, a lot of us keep trying.
Yeah, there's some people that just keep going, man.
And you're talking to them.
Yep. Still, yep.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, man, keep doing it. Maybe you'll get better. I don't know. I knew I wasn't getting better, so I threw the towel in. And, you know, every now and again, when I was announcing at Red Bluff, I'd still try every year. I'd make one start just to stay in it and do it and say I did. And I still try to every now and again, but it's getting harder and harder to, the last time I did it, actually, my brother, I ran his car and, it was like a brand new go-kart and he didn't have a throttle spring on it. Right. And I don't know if anybody that's on this has ever ran an outlaw car, but they're rough, man. And, no throttle spring. I was going around the track. It was a little bit rough in qualifying and my foot was bouncing off the throttle pedal going from no throttle to 100% throttle, like every other 5 seconds, dude. And I was flying all over the place. And after that, I haven't raced again because it was so terrible. But yeah, I really didn't, I had no future as a driver. And I knew that. I'm actually on thethirdturn.com. I ran two pavement late model races at Shasta Speedway in Anderson, California. And that after that, I was like, pavement's not really my thing. It's kind of slow, whatever. I don't really care for it. And the go-kart thing wasn't working out, man. I freaking ran for like 5 years and never won. You know, one time I actually started on the front row of a race with Logan Seavey. And I said, hey, you know, he was in the championship. I think it was like the last race of the year or something. He was leading the championship. He's like, man, all I need to do is run like eighth place. I'll let you win. Oh, okay, cool. You know, so we come to the green and he jumps the start and he wins. I still give him shit about it to this day. You know, he never let me win. Yeah, so after that, I quit the racing, man, and I went full blown on the announcing deal and went to college and got a degree in broadcast journalism and pursued that. And I'd say it's worked out pretty well. But I'll tell you what, I didn't learn anything in school that applies to my job today. So that was a big waste of money.
what kind of car did you buy? You said you had to sell the cart.
Yeah, well, it wasn't anything nice. I'll tell you that. It was a Honda Civic. So, 1998, I've had three Honda Civics. I've had a 98, a 2005 and a 2009. So we went through a couple generations of Honda Civics there. They're pretty reliable.
Did you put like the 55 gallon drum exhaust tip on any of them?
No, I didn't. But the car I have now I've got a Subaru WRX and I saved up for a long time to get one of those. Yeah, it's like my fucking child, man. I love it. That one doesn't have the 55-gallon drum exhaust on it, but it does have a axle back exhaust, so there's no mufflers on it. It doesn't sound like, you know, anything ridiculous because I don't want to wake people up in the morning or whatever. I hate that stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's not obnoxiously loud, but it does get a little bit loud when you get on the hammer a little bit.
That's pretty cool. I love those cars. I've always liked them.
They do look good.
They do look good.
So
it's up for sale if you want it.
You're selling your
Lane
child?
Needs a car.
I need race car shit.
Lane needs to sell race car and buy a car.
It is a race car, just a different type of race car. You could still race it on dirt, but you had to turn right, you know, sometimes purposefully.
I'm not good at that.
To go right.
Dude, I can barely turn left half the time.
No joke.
So, Chase, we've had some pretty good action so far with the High Limits season. What's kind of been some of your highlights and favorite moments? I know this past weekend I was over at Travis's house watching the race, and it was we were rooting for Jacob right off the get-go off the front row, and that was a fun race to watch.
Yeah, that was a really good race. I mean, much better than Thursday. I mean, Thursday was quite the snoozer, to be quite honest with you, man. I don't know. There just wasn't enough cars, I don't think, on the racetrack to get it to widen out. But yeah, I would say the biggest highlight so far has got to be probably Jacob winning, man. I mean, last year, you know, what happened? I mean, he wasn't very good after a really good year in 2022 and 2023. Comes out, everybody's expecting a lot. Nothing happens and he stops racing and come back and win, you know, a 20,000 win race. It's a big deal. I thought that, I mean, and I don't think anybody complains when Jacob Allen wins. No, I think everybody you're right. likes to see it, you know, so that was a big highlight. Great to see that. What's another highlight? I feel like Tanner Thorson running third. That was a pretty big deal, pretty random. I don't know how many people are expecting that.
Yeah, first night.
First night out. I mean, that was pretty crazy. So I don't know. I think there's a lot to look forward to. That the group of guys that are running high limit right now, the 17 cars, it's just such a diverse field. And, you know, a lot of people have been saying the same thing. You know, it might be harder right now to win an outlaw race, but it's harder to run top 10 with high limit. And I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they say it's harder to win with the outlaws, and now all because they're, well, I don't know, man, because I thought for sure at this point, you know, Rico and Brad would have some wins, but honestly, they haven't really been a factor these first four races. I don't think that, you know, Rico hasn't been on the podium and Brad hasn't contended for the win at all.
I also think
quite surprising.
Just because Courtney hasn't ran with the Outlaws, he could run up front every night with them too.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, him, Rico, and Brad, I mean, those three guys right there are going to be super tough every single night. Once McFadden gets over here, I think he's going to be super tough as well. And then Brett Marks has been solid so far. He's been in the top 10 every race and got a podium this weekend. So I like the roster a lot of diversity. And it's going to be fun to see, you know, all year long. I mean, when we get to all these different racetracks, I mean, dude, when we're coming up, when we get back in April, there's like seven tracks in a row that I've never been to, starting with Riverside. And then the one I'm looking forward to the most is Red Dirt. I'm sure you guys been there before.
Yes. It's one of our favorites.
Some really good videos from there.
I'm actually racing there this weekend.
Are you racing?
Yeah.
Son of a.
It's his one race a year.
Yeah.
I got to
get it off earlier this year.
I don't know if I am yet or not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, I fired up the car this weekend. Got ready to go, but
good for you.
Anyhow, back to Chase. But we love Red Dirt.
You see how excited we got about Red Dirt when it got brought up? That's all you need to know.
I'm pretty excited, man.
Yeah, I was at the high limit or not? Sorry, the All Star race there a few years ago, and it was so much fun to watch. And I was actually talking to my dad. I think last night when I left his house, I asked him if he's going to go to any of the outlaw or high limit races as they're coming through Oklahoma here in the next month or two. And he's like, yeah, I probably will. And I was like, I know it sucks on a Tuesday night, but you got to go to Meeker this time. You got to go to Red Dirt and watch. Man, it's unbelievable watching 410s there.
This is a pretty good year to live in Texas or Oklahoma.
It really is.
There's a lot of races for, you know, big-time races coming through there. And around the same amount of time. I mean, all of March for the Outlaws and then all of April, damn near, for high limits. So definitely a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I know there was, you know, we used to have weekly 410 racing at Tulsa Speedway.
That was a long time ago, though. A long time.
I mean, we're talking 20 years ago. And
this is my dad's day.
And so, you know, for us, for some of us, yeah, this is the most 410 racing we've had for
a long time.
A long time since we were child. So,
yeah. It's really cool just to see it back in Oklahoma.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Same.
Like, that's what I grew up watching here. Yeah.
I'm kind of curious. I'm going to put you on the spot here. You know how, like, as soon as the, like, college football championship is over and, like, ESPN will release, like, their way too early college football rankings and stuff. So, like, I'm curious, what would Chase Rodman's way too early, like, top five in the point standings look like based on what you've seen so far? Like, who would you think your top five drivers are?
Well, I put out a YouTube video about this. I did the top 10, but now you said up to this point, and it's definitely changed a lot. You know, I had James McFadden in my top five, you know, before the season started. Obviously, that's not going to be a thing anymore. So, man, I really think that Tyler Cordy is going to be Brad's biggest challenger at this point. He's got an 18-point lead right now, and you know, Rico just, he's never ran for points before, you know, so it's super tough to judge how he's going to do. But I would have to say, and I mean, I'm a race fan, man. First and foremost, I'm a race fan. So I would like to see Brad Sweet's reign of terror come to an end. So, I mean, I would like to see Sunshine win the championship. I think if he does, Brad will run second. And at this point, man, I think Brent Marks is going to run third and then Rico fourth and then fifth. As long as Justin Peck's luck turns around, I think he can run fifth. But I don't know. It's just, there's so much parity, I feel like, with high limit. It's hard to really give a top five. I mean, if you can guess the top five in points right now and it be right, the odds on that would have to be astronomical because it's all over the board.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, well, hey, we appreciate your time. I know we've kept you just a little bit longer than we said we would, but we definitely appreciate you. Some good conversations there. And we're really enjoying you on the microphone so far. It's been fun watching the races. Unfortunately, we got to wait about a month or so to hear you again and see some racing, but it won't
For the record, I like the Spotify deal.
Oh, yes. Hey, that's something. I'm glad you brought that up.
I see a lot of old-ass white dudes bitching about it on Facebook.
I know who you're talking about, and I read through that before we started the show. He doesn't even understand the point
of it. It's not just that one. I see it on Twitter and all this, too.
Like,
but
that one there, he's talking. I'm not even talking about.
Get over it. There's more.
They're like, I don't want to hear that music. That's not racing music. I think from this
that's
generation.
That's the kind of stuff that I'm seeing is like just these they're just so small-minded. Hey, like, people have personality, dude.
They don't understand the point is for you to scan that QR code and kind of get some insight into the drivers and listen to that music. And maybe, you know, I actually thought it was really cool to see what Jacob Allen listened to. And one of the nights I thought,
I'm like,
was,
man, I like that song too. It's in my playlist.
I thought it was funny because it was like, it went from Red Dirt to Post Malone and like back to country.
Makes me feel not so self-conscious about mine doing the same thing.
Yeah. So how fun is that, Chase, been the Spotify list, or have you really been much involved in that? Are you listening to any of that music so far?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the idea, and I hate to, you know, kind of, you know, to my own horn, but that was kind of my idea at the very beginning, to have drivers submit their own songs. But the original idea was supposed to be just for like each night, like after one or two heat races, I'd play a song from one of their lists and the rest would be like songs that I had downloaded or whatever. Right.
Uh-huh.
But then, you know, it kind of evolved into each night a driver would do the whole night, you know, and I like that way better. And it started off really good, right, with Jacob and you know, the graphic on the screen with the artist name and everything.
Yeah.
And everybody, I mean, I would say if you had to put a percentage on, I would say 98% of people liked it, right? And it was like a huge talking point on Twitter and everything. Unfortunately, after that, we've had to make some adjustments to it. So due to like copyright infringement and stuff, right? So Flo has kind of shut it down a little bit. We like at East Bay, if you go back and watch the replay, like I'm playing a song for like 2 minutes sometimes, you know, and now, as far as right now goes, I'm hoping it changes, but, we can only now play 15 seconds of a song on the broadcast. So, which is tough. It really sucks, but luckily I have a program where I can edit the song down to where it's like the good part of the song, you know, and we can't put the artist name and the song name on the screen anymore. We have that QR code still, but we can't put all that stuff on it. But no, it's super cool. It's a great addition. And, you know, it's just something that makes it a little bit different from the Outlaws, right? And that's what High Limit's trying to do. It's trying to be different. You know, that Durst dice roll is different. And from the sounds of it, I don't know if you guys saw anything I put out about that roulette wheel for the dash draw. It sounds like that's going to be a thing when we come back in April. So just trying to do different stuff. And that Spotify playlist, man, has been a really big hit so far. And I love it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I love it too. And I'm kind of curious, now that you're saying it's kind of going to be limited on it showing on the TV now, is there any like sort of like central database that somebody can go look and kind of see what all drivers actually have their own playlists so far?
Well, not really. I mean, I have like it's like a Google Sheets, but it's only for like, you know, High Limit employees or whatever. Gotcha. And the drivers.
Yeah.
But once every driver, you know, has his night, then they will all eventually be uploaded to the, to that Spotify playlist.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be all one playlist, or have you guys clicked on it before? Or is it just one, like Jacob's and then Casey's and then.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
I was trying to play with it the other day and I found one for Jacob and it kind of looked like it was by itself. That might make sense why I was trying to find other drivers and I couldn't find it, but I think it was just after that one night that Jacob's was on all night. And that's probably why it was the only one I could find.
Yeah, I'm thinking they're going to just release them as each driver, you know, has his night. So keep people on their toes, I guess. Yeah. So.
That's really cool. Yeah. Well, I guess I was trying to wrap things up, and we added another 5 or 6 minutes there. So, man, we're looking forward to seeing you back on the mic, hearing you back on the mic. And like you said, by the time you get back to the action, it will be just probably about a week and a half before we see you around here in Oklahoma. So We'll have to catch up with you. Make sure we stop by and say hi if we see you. And man, I can't push or I can't say thank you enough. Sorry for taking the time to come on the show. And it's been fun learning more about you, and it's been fun watching your success, Travis. You look like you got something.
Yeah, I want to know what Chase would want us to listen to. What would his playlist be?
Oh, okay.
Give us a song and somebody to listen to. What would you recommend?
Man, I've been listening to all kinds of old school stuff here recently. I listen to everything, like rock, mostly rock, I would say, but. And I listen to country and pop and all that stuff. And, man, dude, hang on, let me look here.
Well, we were trying to get off the air. I just wanted something quick.
Oh, that's cool.
I just want to make sure I give you something that I actually listen to here.
Oh, dang. Travis went from wanting to know something to pushing him out the door.
Right. Well, no, I figured it would be a quick, nice way to be like, hey, go listen to this. And then, hey, see ya, Chase. You know.
The song I really like right now is Machine Head. My Bush. I think it's kind of older, but
yeah, that's older. That
yeah, I don't know. I just like rock. I don't know. So
it's a good song, though.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And I'm just glad that I don't have to be the one in charge of all the music for the broadcast, because I just don't want to get tore apart by everybody on Twitter. You know, so just let the drivers handle that. So
there you go. Well, we appreciate you, Chase, and we'll see you at a track soon. And thank you for your time.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. We'll see you guys soon. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, we're going to take a quick break to hear a little bit from a few of our partners. And on the other side, we'll dive into the meat of the show.
Danny Smith, owner of Same Day Auto Repair and Tire Pros, makes automotive service and tire buying simpler. Same Day Auto Repair and Tire Pros offers payment options with or without credit. Payments starting as low as $40. The program is available for both car repairs and tires. Tire Pros, hassle-free guaranteed. Find out more at samedayautorepair.com.
No payment options or guaranteed options available to those who qualify. See store for complete details.
Same Day Auto Repair.
Whether you're looking for countertop for your new property or your remodeling needs, Permastone has you covered. At Permastone Countertop Solutions, you can choose from a large collection of the best countertops around Tulsa, Oklahoma. From the selection of your countertop to its installation, their experts will help you with everything. Choose from a range of quartz, marble, granite countertops for your residential or commercial property. You can check out permastonetulsa.com to get with them and get their numbers. You can give them a call, get a free estimate or an in-home consultation, and let them show you how perfect countertops around Tulsa, Oklahoma can transform your home. That's Permastone Countertop Solutions. Check them out at permastonetulsa.com.
That was a really fun. You okay there?
I started laughing.
That was a fun interview with Chase, man. It was good. We got about 45 minutes there and some good information. And
what would you listen to?
So on the, are we talking Spotify?
Yeah.
You want the quick answer? Or?
I don't care. It's up to you.
Pandora. Is the quick answer.
Is Pandora still a thing?
Dude, that's what I don't. Right, so, Dalton still uses Pandora.
So I still use Pandora because it's.
Gosh.
But
man, I got my LimeWire going.
Let me tell you. Your computer has STDs.
You still on Napster?
Listen, so here's kind of how I play it. When I want to listen to just the same artist, I go to Spotify and I type that artist in and I'll listen to playlists of just that artist. But I like Pandora.
You can't do that unless you have premium, so I know you're lying.
That's not true. I just
it's a radio of them. It'll mix other.
You can
playlist.
If you go to an artist you like, you can go down and listen to whatever their name is, radio, and it'll play like stuff with.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay,
I was on Pandora for so long. I've already got my stations, and I use it a lot. But I was Saturday listening to two different Spotify stations, and it was prior to my dad getting there, and I was at his house, and I was blasting.
Hold on, quick question: do you get embarrassed when your dad comes in and changes music?
No, I just know what,
I do that.
I just know. Well, it's not embarrassed. I just know it's not his kind of music, and I enjoy the music my dad listens to.
My dad rolls up. I don't want to fucking listen to his comments here.
I enjoy the music my dad listens to. I got a lot of my music appreciation from him. But there's other things I like that I know he don't listen to. Yeah. So I was rocking out to Avenged Sevenfold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd have to change it.
And
I'd have changed, turn it down.
I'd have changed it anyways.
Yeah, if I would have, like, I listen to Avenged Sevenfold, like, anything that comes like, on, but I would definitely have to.
Like, if I'm at work or even working on the race car, like, when I need to just, like, buckle down and focus, like, I'll just turn on Avenged Sevenfold or even on Pandora, I'll do Avenged Sevenfold Radio and just play a bunch of, like, stuff and just some hard rock. But when he got there, I backed it down a little bit, and I moved it over to the Boston Greatest Hits from Boston.
A little bit of the butt rock.
Butt rock?
It's butt rock, bro.
Yeah.
That's straight butt rock.
That's what it's called.
Why is it called butt rock?
Heard it's that. Just like...
Because it's ass?
Radio friendly. No.
No.
It's like just radio friendly lyrics and riffs the entire time. There's no like harshness to it. Abrasive. Nothing.
Never heard that before.
Yeah, look butt it up. Rock. It's actually not just a term that Scotty and I just made up. It's huge in the music industry. It's butt rock.
Well, Travis,
is it kind of like similar to like bro?
It doesn't mean it's gay. It's just that's what it's called.
It's kind of like bro country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a way, like everyone likes it. And like we'll listen to it, but like.
So Google has a list of butt rock bands.
Oh Jesus!
Boston's probably number three.
Creed is number one. So Creed, Shinedown, which I disagree with because I love Shinedown.
Yeah.
But
I like Creed.
Like Hinder, 100%.
Yep.
Nickelback, yeah, all 100%. Yes. Stained, yes.
Yep.
Buckcherry, yes.
What's wrong with Tool on there?
Bro, don't talk about Tool like that, man. That's my favorite band. Don't bring
who?
Travis is
who?
Tool.
Tool sucks.
No.
Yes, they 100% do. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, they're overrated.
Not a fan.
No.
I know we've, like, there's a bunch of people out there that like, but they are not good.
Travis is the kind of guy that he goes back and forth between yacht rock and gangster rap.
Dude, yeah. I have a.
And then some Red Dirt.
Makes yeah. In. My default's Red Dirt, but it's not just gangster rap. Like, I listen to, like, hardcore music.
I have
music
walked
too.
Into Travis's shop and him listening to, like, Missy Elliott or whatever.
Not Missy Elliott. I was actually trying to remember. Some of the sorority girl songs. I don't remember what they're called. All of them are.
Carly Rae Jepsen. Call Me Maybe. Yeah,
that's it. Call Me Maybe. That's what I was trying to remember. Call Me Maybe.
Call Me Maybe.
What about you, Lane?
What, music?
Yeah, your go-to.
I'm not scaring anyone. I know.
Okay. There's two of us here, bro.
Don't
listen to the same music.
Hey,
don't be
hey.
A pud.
What?
This is just between us three, us four.
Yeah, in the however many people listen to our show.
We'll mute it real quick.
No, we don't have to mute it. I don't know. I just unconventional, like hard rock.
It's not unconventional.
I said unconventional.
So Lane liked the plot in you.
Because I know we talked about like A Day to Remember and stuff like that.
Yeah, like A Day to Remember.
yeah, clear your throat a little.
Knocked Loose.
I was listening to We Came as Romans today.
Yeah, it's kind of.
I like a little bit of the techno.
Plot and You is good. In Flames.
So, I haven't heard that one.
They're from Sweden.
Oh. They're from Sweden.
From Sweden.
Abandoned by Sweden. Bears is good. They're not.
Really I have heard around. That one. Yeah.
They're also from Sweden. The Neighborhood, that's softer. Arctic Monkeys, Cage the Elephant, all that, and then all the hip hops and raps. Most of them.
What kind of rap?
And raps.
Oh, I mean, literally from the old school all the way.
Okay, because I was about to say, like I'm a little, whatever. I'm like, I have to, if it's rap, like, it has to be, like,
I'm like
gangster.
No, I go from, like
selling drugs.
Wu-Tang.
It has to be Rick like, Ross, bro.
ODB, old We're dirty selling. Bastard in this hoe, like, all the way to like, what I was saying, like, the heavy, hardcore metal stuff. So... I have
Michael make fun of me because you were talking about me yacht rock and stuff.
Yeah.
I just
no,
found
it's
out.
Butt rock.
No, yacht rock. We're not talking about butt rock.
They're pretty similar.
No, yacht rock's different. I think. I don't know. Anyways, I don't know if it's yacht rock really.
There is a sub genre called yacht rock, yes.
Pitbull has a Jimmy Buffett song. He's a song dedicated to Jimmy Buffett. I found it out the other
really?
Day. Yeah.
Have you listened to it?
Yeah. I rocked it way too much today.
Bro, there's a band called Yachtly Crew.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, you know this.
Yeah, they just do cover songs. I found them on TikTok.
That's fantastic.
Oh, goodness. Well, shall we talk a little racing before we get out of here?
Let's do that.
OK. Can I ask you guys one question?
No.
Yes. Real quick.
No.
Producer Scotty, this one's supposed to be talking.
Producer Scotty.
So, all right. I saw something on Denny Hamlin that he mentioned.
What podcast is this?
We don't talk about NASCAR on here.
What podcast? Are you here? Have you listened to the show?
I'm asking, have either of you pissed in your fire suit either during like an open, like a red flag or under caution?
No.
No, we don't run that long a race. Well, so I have had,
so like maybe like on Ironman, you know, the track burgers just not selling well with your tummy.
No, I will pull off the track before that happens. This is not that serious,
dude. There was one time we were in staging for a heat race, and all of a sudden I had to do two. I didn't. Don't get me wrong, I didn't.
Right,
I did afterwards, but I went like fifth and won that heat race.
Yeah,
and I was like, man, I need that urgency more often.
So I've said that I've had to go to the bathroom before a race, and I'm like, I'm just going to hold it till afterwards. Maybe it'll make me drive faster.
Yeah.
But no, never had the urge to do it.
Lane doesn't go.
In the car.
I piss right before I get in the car. Every time.
Every time?
Every time.
Makes him lighter.
So three times a night?
That's how he won the championship this year.
Hot laps.
He was so light.
Like right in front of the truck.
You forgot your B feature.
I don't run them. Sometimes.
I know, I'm joking. I was setting you up for that one.
Oh, goodness.
All right, racing.
Yeah, hey, World of Outlaws back in action this weekend, March 3rd and 4th. That's going to be our featured pick'em segment race, first one of the season since we got all three this year.
Oh, I got to take you guys to dinner, don't I?
Oh, crap. Yeah, you do.
I forgot.
Where are we going?
I don't know.
What was that place we're going, Lane?
I remember Lane's at McGill's.
Pub Dub.
Huh? Where is he taking us for dinner?
Are we going tonight?
No.
I just forgot about it. Where is he taking us for dinner?
Pub W. Okay.
All right, let's do a Pub W.
It's allergy season. Sorry, I'm keeping clearing my throat. I got some drainage.
Let me clear my throat. That's an old rap song.
Let's do a Pub W, and then we'll finish it up at the golf suites one evening.
We should do that.
Let's do that.
I'd be down for that.
Sounds good.
Hey, and then we should do another episode where I cook for y'all too.
Yeah. Hey, so I was at Travis's Saturday night. Well, Travis's dad's Saturday night. And he asked me something about what's so special about this pasta that Lane makes. And I said, it's really good. Now I'm questioning, was it your dad or my dad?
No, Travis's dad definitely asked me about it every time.
Oh, maybe it was. But yeah, he said, what's so special about this pasta? I'm like, I don't know.
It's made with love,
dude. It's a secret recipe. He's like, he probably bought it from somewhere and told y'all he cooked it.
You too.
And
watched me make it from scratch.
Oh, I said.
You had your apron on and everything.
I said, we walked in and he was making it. He goes, oh. And I said, or he was reheating it in the skillet like he was making it. I'm not sure now.
Nope. You guys have the cutting board out.
I know.
The onion.
Jeez.
The garlic.
Oh, so good.
The expensive olive oil.
Yeah.
So good. That makes a difference. Don't buy the cheap shit.
Dude, as good as the pasta
the
was
stuff
that
in the
night,
plastic bottle.
Yeah.
It's gotta be as glass. Good as the pasta was that night, the mules in the copper mugs were pretty dang good.
That's another thing I've kind of perfected too. Just eyeballing.
Well,
dude, that's my favorite drink. That's my drink of choice.
If you put the right drink with the right pasta, that's part of the flavors.
I'm not a big wine guy, but I feel like that goes pretty well with pasta.
Oh,
like,
that reminds me.
Well, no, it complements the food. Yeah.
I forgot. Jennifer got like a blueberry wine in there. And I was like, I thought it would be funny if like one episode we all drank wine and did the show. Wouldn't that be funny? Cool.
Good time. What was the guy's name? Oh, I forgot it. I went blank.
Like we could be like.
No, the road course racer we had on the show a year and a half ago or so. Ray Hall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we should have done that for him.
Yeah.
Because that's the road course thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, hey, that wasn't as cool as I thought it'd be. You guys,
no,
I thought you guys would think it would be funny, but never mind. Anywho, High Limit Series. This past weekend, three races. Tyler Courtney picking up the first win. Rain picking up the second win. Rain as in rain out.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, there's not a driver named Rain. I just wanted.
To I got you. Keep going. Keep digging.
And Jacob Allen winning the finale there for the Deuces Wild.
That was a good race.
Miles. That was a good race, man.
All three of them going at it.
Yeah, Pet, Courtney, and Jacob Allen. That was a great race. But like we discussed in the interview there with Chase, we got to wait till April 9th for High Limit to get back in action. And that race will be at Riverside International Speedway, West Memphis.
Which is
a ditch.
the ditch.
Lane, how do you think 410s at the ditch is going to be?
It's going to be good.
It's going to be good. I've seen them when I lived in Memphis. It gets good racing.
Thanks for answering, Lane.
Yeah, no problem. Hold on, wait. It's good, bro.
Producer Scotty, what the hell?
It's good, bro.
Yeah, dude.
We have to change him to the headset that has headphones and no microphone.
I'm just going to screw with him the whole time now.
Right?
Yeah. You got to refer to him as Producer Scotty. It's not.
Producer Scotty. Okay, so Pick'em Challenge. Pick'em Challenge.
Already?
Already. We ain't got nothing else to talk about.
Oh.
What's your deal, Lane?
We haven't talked
to get a reaction out of your sister and scoffing.
All right, so last year's
just too easy.
Hey, dude, you need to back off.
Did we talk about? Have we had Lane on since Chili Bowl?
No.
I don't know.
We haven't. I took a hiatus.
He doesn't know if we've talked about your Chili Bowl run or not.
It was exciting.
It was exciting.
But everybody's over the Chili Bowl.
What? Fine. I'm good in the show.
I don't know. Michael's just jealous. Sucks. He couldn't get in the midget.
Whoa. You been running?
I'm not jealous. Not one bit.
Dude, I've seen bigger guys than you in the midget.
No.
No.
They don't.
No. I get tired of hearing, such and such fits in a midget. No, such and such does not fit in a midget. He hangs halfway out of the car, but he gets in it. Getting in a midget and fitting in a midget are two different things.
I don't even fit in a midget.
There's a lot of drivers bigger than me that get in midgets, but they don't fit in midgets.
Fair enough.
I just don't want to cram myself in one and not be able to move and not
have fun. Here, newsflash, you're never going to be able to move in one. Ever.
Then I'm not racing a midget. I can't move in a sprint car.
That's what I'm getting at. You're already there. Why not?
Because a midget's smaller.
It's really not that bad.
You're not that bad.
You're correct.
I know.
He did really well.
I was not running with it like that, but I will.
Let's talk about it.
No, I could have done a lot better. There's a lot
left you could have.
That's what everybody says after Chili Bowl. Everybody's like, I think I can do better. And then they come back the next year.
Well, I don't know. You take away the qualifier, and I had a pretty good night.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you had the hiccup.
Yeah. The qualifier is my worst time. The thing was evil. Just wanted to bike up and wheelie anytime I got near the curb.
But if you wouldn't
have made the show in dramatic.
Yeah, if you wouldn't.
I did.
If you wouldn't have made up for it. If you wouldn't have had the horrible qualifier, you wouldn't have got to. No, you wouldn't have got to put on. No, no, seriously. You wouldn't have got to put on the show.
I don't know that I would accept. I don't think it was horrible.
It was horrible. Yeah.
But you wouldn't have got to put on the show. I mean,
yeah, you're right. We wouldn't have started. You'd have just
blended in.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know about blended in. I would have done something cool. I don't know if it would have been in one piece at the end.
But that's what I'm saying. We remember last year.
Yeah. It's not just in the Chili Bowl either. We have a habit of doing things spectacularly, but that qualifier kind of like opened the eyes a little bit, because that, like, not just at the Chili Bowl, one race throughout the night can literally just ruin your entire night.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that it ruined the night, it just puts you in a lot harder spot to get out of.
Yeah. It's real easy to bury yourself at Chili Bowl.
And then when you're sliding people like for life for 10th in a A main or whatever, wherever it was, like, that's 2.5 rows on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, that's another thing people forget. Maybe they want to, like, it's not that I did anything, but I definitely made a questionable move at the line in the A main Saturday. I don't remember that.
What happened?
And a lot of people didn't see it, but there was not a lot of room on the outside, and I did not give this dude any room. I don't know who it was, but it's 2.5 rows right there.
That's probably a common occurrence at Chili Bowl, though.
Yeah.
That's still in that last transfer spot in the B features.
I think I ran 18th, but it was literally just one more spot. But that's still 2 rows on Saturday or whatever it is.
So walk us through what you're thinking. You take the white flag and you're out of a transfer spot
in the B main.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm no, like
you get that final transfer spot
when we come around. So if you watch the video, we went one lap. I ran the bottom behind him, and going into one, I know LaPlante. I like him. He's a good kid. But I still gave him a little right front action.
Yeah.
And nice enough to, like, just enough to get him off the berm, and I was there, and he had it, so I let him go. And then going into three, I just followed him in. I was right on him. I was like, man, I'm not going to sit here and follow. And so literally coming out of four, I had to run, I could tell that I could get off the corner better than he could, and I just went straight to the top just to not kill my speed, just hoping that he'd either clip the berm going into turn one, and I could just diamond off and just chop him going down the backstretch and just protect, or I just see what happens. And he hit a good lap going into one. And coming out of two, down the backstretch, I'm there. And I kind of biked up a little bit out of two. And so I'm like, okay, I'm committed now. Like, there's no way I'm getting this on the bottom. Yeah. So I got to go in three and four and rip. And he hits it one and or three and four, okay, I think. And I was behind going on the backstretch. And I made up like two or three car lengths.
I honestly, coming off two, he got such a good run off two. I was like, that's it.
Yeah, he pulled
it's
me.
Over.
And I like go into three and four. And I didn't lift. I just threw it in. I don't drive midgets. I just threw it in and just ripped the curb all the way around, didn't lift all the way to it. And I saw him, like, as we got even, like, at the apex. I was like, if I can just keep it here all even all the way around, I can start coming down. Yeah. And sure as hell, I was even with him, like, off, and I just started kind of just nosing the car down towards the bottom on entry. And it was just enough to, like, make him, I don't know if he lifted or, like, if I was just right there. But if you look at the video at the line, like my car is like just a little bit cocked, like at the line, and I'm protecting. Like it was probably really good. It was him, and not someone else.
This is what's interesting to me, and I think a kind of a point I want to try to make. You know, we got a lot of listeners out there that they obviously follow racing if they're listening to the show. But we got a lot of listeners that have never driven a race car, and it just took you roughly 2 minutes to walk us through your final, 10-11 second lap?
Yeah.
And it took
12 at the most, probably.
It took you 2 minutes to describe your thought process.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, you hear people say, like, oh, you didn't really go through all those thoughts. You do.
No, 110%.
Yeah. You think all of those things. Mm-hmm. And you process it so quick. And
I even
you play out
counter in that, like, damn, I know this kid. I like him. I'm not going to wreck him.
Right. And you play out multiple scenarios, like, at snap of a finger. It's crazy how quick some people can process things. Some of us are a little slower. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and, like, the old saying of, like, you, like, the announcers say it a lot, or, like, you know, just observers or fans, like, just being the sitting duck. That's the worst spot. Leading a race on the last lap, that's being in the last transfer spot on the last lap is the same exact scenario as leading a race on the last lap.
Yeah.
You are a sitting duck. Someone there is watching you, and as soon as you commit, they're trying to do what you're not doing.
Yep.
And that's what happened is Ryder just committed to the bottom just to protect his spot, and rightfully so. Like, he's in one. Like,
well,
why
as
move?
Far as he knows, you're back there trying to move him.
Exactly. And that's what I tried to do right on the. And that's not like I just blatantly just ran into him. Like,
well, he might have been waiting for that again.
Yeah. And I just muscled him a little bit. But at the same time, it's respectful, and it's not like he had the line. But, anyways, besides that, like,
you
he's
didn't
still
just boot
protecting.
Him.
Yeah. And, like, my only other option is I got to drive around him. Yeah. So.
Do you think that plays into...
If I don't drive around him, I can't mentally live with the fact. Or if I didn't try, then I can't mentally, like, live with, like, man, I just sat out there and just ran fifth and was okay with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, that kind of thing. So.
Do you think on the previous lap, you kind of getting underneath him, showing your nose, kind of nudging him a little bit, do you think that caused him to play it a little bit cautious get on the brakes a little more and keep it on the berm and not let anybody underneath him?
It may have, but
you'd have to ask.
I pulled him next to him under caution too.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more that plays into just that. There's mind games.
Yeah.
You know, when you recognize who you're around and you know you're 10 years older than the person in front of you, you can kind of capitalize. Like, I hate to say that in a bad way, but if you're in my spot, then why wouldn't you?
Right.
Like, it's a damn chili bowl. I'm trying to put on a show. So I'm going to pull up next to you. Like, I'm not making contact. I'm just letting you know. I know you know who I am. And I'm just, it's not that I'm somebody, but you know me. I'm pulling up next to you. Like, I might be under caution, just right up next to you, just pushing you down the backstretch. Not bumping, just little things. Like,
that's part of the game.
Like, just being an asshole. Like, aggressive, like,
beating the hell out of the cars, but it is part of the game too. And it's been done to me too by other guys. Like it's by older guys, 10 years older than me. Like it's just part of the game. You don't see it when you're a fan necessarily, but when you're out there, you know when your foot's off the throttle or resting on it or riding the brake and you're getting pushed from behind on a start and you're like get up, you just, it gets you wound up.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Mentally sound enough to like comprehend that what
well,
was going on.
Well, like
on,
one,
know?
Like one that's generic that every person that's drove a race car, I don't know if you know it, but like when you're leading, you're waiting for that little bump.
Oh yeah.
Because once that bump hits, you're gone.
Yep.
Because they're not going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just that much.
As soon as they come off you, a lot of the time.
Yeah.
It's, you can get through the bump, but as if
but one, that's you, just a game.
Yeah. I'm gonna give away all my secrets.
No, 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 no. That's a generic.
Yeah, that's one of the generic ones too, for sure.
I mean, like different going at different places where the line is. I know we have a race director here, but that hates us.
We'll exploit all kinds of shit until I get called back.
No judgy.
Yep.
No judgy.
That's just how it is. Like when you're so equal in a sense, or like you're at a disadvantage in a way. Yeah. Like, not saying the equipment I was in was bad, but there's a Toyota Spike or a Toyota, you know, Stealth right in front of me, whatever it is, like Toyota Mopar, Esslinger. Like, well, I got to do something here to get like my little advantage. So that's kind of what was going through my head. Not it's just him that he's young, but
I'll be honest.
I have to, like, in that setting, like, it's like you think about like you're outmotored. The car's nice, but like you got to either out drive or like out mentally.
Well,
just be mentally stronger than those guys.
You say so. He's young and everything, but he's probably pretty good.
He's good.
Really good. He's probably really good with a bunch of those games that a lot of people aren't, you know.
He's really good for his age, but like there's still a maturity level at some point. Mm-hmm. So, and I went through that same shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, all games, and like you said, there's a 2.5 minutes, 5 minutes of explanation of
for 12 seconds.
Yeah, 12, what a collective less than 30 seconds of 2.5 laps, whatever it was.
All right, well, pick 'em challenge. So, Travis, you got last.
We're doing Outlaws?
Yep, so you get to pick first.
Where are they going?
Volusia.
2 days, third and fourth.
Gravel.
Nice pick.
You might as well just buckle up because I'm going to pick gravel every freaking night.
I'm going to take. I'm going to take Rico. Lane?
He's doing research.
For the Outlaws? Where are they at?
Volusia.
2 days. 2 days.
Gravel. Right, I wasn't here for that.
To be clear, he was getting
I was getting a beer.
I know.
Before you get smart.
Both questions you asked, Travis asked.
I was getting a beer.
You picked the same driver as him.
No one said, okay, Lane, the Outlaws are Volusia. Travis has X amount of drivers. Who are you going to pick? No. Okay. Let's like Lane look
two
like a
days
dumbass.
At and Volusia. Gravel is
but we just clarified it, too.
Yeah.
We could have played it up.
Like,
weren't you listening?
Table.
What
Gravel's
the hell, dumbass?
You sounded like Travis for a minute.
I know. Damn. That's an insult.
You're welcome.
So Gravel's off the table and Rico's off the table.
Oh, damn.
That just means you don't listen to the show.
Not when I'm not on it. That's tough, really. I'd say Brad Sweet, but you know, awkward.
I was almost gonna take Sweet. I was almost gonna take Sweet, but he hadn't been running real good lately.
I'm gonna go off a whim and say Shewhart. He's gonna pull one off.
He'll be strong if nothing else.
They got a weekend in the books.
Okay, well, hey, anything else you guys want to talk about?
I'm sure there's a lot of things.
Okay, good. All right, well, hey, thank you to our partners, Same Day Auto Repair.
You don't got nothing? Like, nothing entertaining?
I got to get up at 5 in the morning.
All right, end the show.
Why do you have to be up so early?
Busy at work.
He works. He's your management.
Just tell him to get there.
Do you not get there till like, you don't get there till like 10, right?
Dude, he's dedicated. He has a gas and supply hat on outside work hours. I don't see you in that.
It's a nice hat.
Do you want to talk about your race?
What race?
Your 100 lap race.
Which we had cameras to see the look I just got from Michael.
We need a YouTube channel.
Yeah, Scotty, what the fuck?
I'm working on it, damn it.
God dang it. You're like, just throw a bottle at him. You're like, get
the shit. The show owner is waiting for a camera and a space to record.
Don't look at me like I live alone.
We need a studio. Can we use your garage?
The garage is full right now of car parts.
Can we use one of your bedrooms?
I've honestly, like,
just all of us, like, in his, like, king-size bed, just doing the show.
Over there in Goodman Mansion.
You just lay in bed together.
Oh.
No shoes allowed.
Wait, I don't know. If it gets good ratings, I mean.
It would be funny, but I'm not doing it.
Dude, we should buy buy one of those giant blankets that covers, like, 10 square feet and all get under the same blanket.
I think... Hey, producer Scotty, look this up. I think it's a Wyoming king.
A Wyoming king?
There's a California king.
No, California king's tiny. This is like 9 foot or by 9 foot.
Holy God. Yes, this thing is.
What size is it?
I'm getting there. It is 7 foot by 7 foot.
No, that's not the right one then. There's another one. Maybe it's Alaska king.
That is, like, I'm almost 7 foot tall. That's not going to work.
Maybe it's an Alaskan king.
Let's see. I'm not 7 foot
tall. There's only, like, two companies that make them.
Good Lord.
Well, I don't know. He said that on the last one.
It gets bigger.
No, apparently Cricket doesn't work in Glimpel.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I'm Googling it.
84 inches by 84 inches.
That's what she said. Well, that's Alaskan king bed.
Even still, the picture of this thing is just absolutely gigantic.
So here we go. Biggest bed size, Texas versus Alaskan versus Wyoming kings. Now I just need you to tell me what.
What size?
Wyoming is 84 by 84. Texas is 80 by 98. And Alaskan is 108 by 108 inches.
Holy. Yeah, 9 foot by 9 foot.
Yeah.
Gee, why?
Oh. At this point, why not?
I had to call my wife to tell her goodnight. I mean, I had to do that anyway, but usually I'm on the couch because I'm up all night playing iRacing. But
that's why you're late for work.
Sometimes. Blame Lane because he doesn't get on until 10 o'clock at night, and he's like, let's race, guys.
Yeah, all you guys are fucking old.
Not all of us can go to work at 11 a.m.
I don't go to work at 11 a.m. I was at Window World at 8:30 today.
I was at work at 5:45 this morning.
Not even doing Window World stuff. Today was it's a Monday. It's the first this week I did that.
But if I go to work 3 hours earlier than you, by default, I'm going to go to bed.
You know what, Michael? This is what I have to say to your response.
I fully expect you to be like, just no. Like straight up childish. I really thought it was going there. No,
it's just I as a person cannot mentally function in the 9 to 5 setting. I would much rather have to work some nights till 9, 10 o'clock at night.
So you're more of a 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
kind of guy. No, not even that. I'm more of a like, I'm going to work when work's to be done. When there's a lot of work to be done, I'll work from 7:30 in the morning until 12 at night if I have to.
That's where I'm at.
If it's slow.
I got to work at 5:45 this morning. I left at 5:30. I think I took about 10 minutes for lunch.
I'm not afraid to admit, though, I'm not a morning person. So you get, I hate.
Michael isn't either.
I know. The
problem is my attitude in the morning carries over into the afternoon.
My problem
and
is.
And it just gets worse throughout the day. It's just shit piles on as the day goes on.
Yeah. It's like literally, Scott will be like, what's wrong with you today? I'm like, I'm here.
See, it's perspective too, though. Like, I have a lot of the issue too, is because I'll like wake up and then be like fucking 6:45 in the morning. I was going fishing on Saturday and I woke up and like,
oh, yeah.
Just like that feeling, and I'm going to do something I really like to do.
You just have to get going.
I can't sleep. And as soon
and like I get, no, I can sleep. Trust me. But like I get up and I'm like, I'm just pissed off for 15 minutes that I'm even up before the sun's up. Like, I don't know why this is ingrained. Like, I don't know. I really don't, because my dad's a hard worker. Like, and all, like, there's no laziness in my family at all. And I like have this like weird, like ingrained in my soul, like I can't do early mornings very well unless we're hunting or fishing, and even then it's a damn struggle.
Michael's asleep. He fell asleep.
How was fishing?
I had a great time. Lower Illinois River. We caught some trout.
How was Florida?
I had a great time there too. Went to Naples.
No, that's cool. I was asking about the fishing down there. I thought.
Oh, I went fishing on Sunday too. Yesterday.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I
went trout fishing. We didn't catch shit in Florida.
Oh.
Yeah, we went. It was all a bunch of inland bay fishing. We got up too late. I was too hungover. I still made it though. We caught one ladyfish, or I caught a ladyfish, which is a bait fish. We were fishing for like redfish or snook, and then we fished off the dock at the house we were hanging out at, and I caught a bunch of little wrasses. And our other buddy that was fishing caught a little snook off the dock, but that was about it. So not like too eventful, but I had a, still had a great
time.
Yeah,
it's still fun. You're hanging out with your buddies.
Yeah.
In Florida while we were up here. Yeah. I got you.
That's why I'm darker than you right now.
Yeah.
I never
that's got, not hard
never,
to do.
I never got pictures of fish. I only got a picture of an ocelot.
Are you really?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
I'm DNA me.
No.
23 and me.
Whatever the word is for that. Yeah, I am.
Why are you guys looking at me?
Have you ever done one of those DNA things?
No. I'm not giving them my info.
Oh, they already have it.
They already have it.
I have my grandpa being Mexican is enough for me to know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I found out I was 4% French.
It's on my mom's side. Have you ever seen my mom?
No.
If you have. 110% you have. You just didn't know she's my mom.
Okay, Elizabeth Warren over there. I'm French.
No, I am. I was like, somebody liked a French girl somewhere.
Nobody knows she's my mom, though, because she looks like my sister. She's really dark, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Dark hair, dark eyes, minute. Dark skin.
Huh.
Your mom is your sister?
I said
they think she's your
recognize her because people think she is my sister. Meaning my mom looks young.
He's complimenting his mother.
We're not all from Kiefer. I know it's common where you're from. But I'm from Midtown Tulsa. Like it doesn't when you go 20 miles into town, like that's not normal there. So
I don't even think that's possible.
To go 20 miles into town?
No. No, for you to have a sister and a mom for to be the same person. I don't think that's...
No, that's totally possible.
No, it's 100% possible.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Not legally.
Has a daughter, and then when she gets old enough, impregnates her, and then that's you. That's now your sister mom. Let's ask Joseph.
This is
Arkansas.
Oh, he's gonna kill me when he hears that. He's gonna
call the Crawleys back.
Travis, don't say that.
I like them. They're cool, man. They're awesome people.
Can I go to bed now?
No.
Okay. Thanks everybody for listening to episode 163 of Pass Points Podcast, presented by Same Day.
Glad Auto to have Lane back.
We'll talk to you next week.
No, nobody said. Damn, glad to have you back, dude.
I am. I was excited.
Passing Points Podcast is produced by MTR Performance Media. Please follow and like us on social media at Passing Points Podcast on Facebook, at Passing_Points on Twitter, and at Passing Points Podcast on Instagram.